Stookley Meadows Industrial Estate. Fantastic offers on tyres, servicing, MOTs and all your motoring needs. Call 01480 595 900.
Across Huntingdonshire, on your radio, online, mobile and your smart speaker. This is Ouse Valley Radio.
The UK's terrorism threat level has been raised to severe in the wake of the Golders Green stabbings. The Joint Terrorism Analysis Centre says it means an attack in the next 6 months is highly likely. Earlier, the Prime Minister was jeered at during a visit to the site of the attacks. It's emerged the 45-year-old suspect, Issa Solomon, had previously been referred to the government's counter-terrorism prevent programme. The PM says the UK has to work together to stamp out the rise of anti-Semitism.
This government will do everything in our power to stamp this hatred out. We will strengthen our security and protect our Jewish community. But I also call on everyone decent in this country to open their eyes to Jewish pain, Jewish suffering, and Jewish fear.
Meanwhile, Liberal Democrat leader Sir Ed Davey says the government need to clamp down on groups who preach hate.
We've been calling for the Iranian IRGC to be proscribed as a terrorist group. They foment hatred against Jewish people. They've often been involved in attacks on Jewish people. So we need to proscribe that as a terrorist group. And the Conservatives failed to do it. Labour says they're going to do it, but they've not done it yet. We need urgent action to do that.
Next, three teenagers have been sentenced for manslaughter after luring a man they thought was a paedophile to a beach. 49-year-old Alexander Cashford was killed in Laysdown-on-Sea on the island of Sheppey in August last year. A boy and a girl, both aged 16, have received seven-year sentences, and a 15-year-old boy has been sentenced to 5 years. Former Spandau Ballet frontman Ross Davidson has been jailed for 14 years. He's been found guilty of a series of rapes and sexual assaults against six women. More than 1,000 homes have been evacuated in Plymouth. A suspected unexploded Second World War device has been found at a building site. And the Bank of England has held interest rates at 3.75%, but economists have warned they could rise in the future due to the Iran war. That's the latest from Radio News Hub. I'm David Hall.
The value of gold and silver has gone galactic. And Fairgold have paid out millions for your gold, jewellery and watches. All valuations and postage are free, trackable and insured. And on the same day we receive your items, we provide you with an offer and pay you by bank transfer in as little as 15 minutes. So visit fairgold.co.uk or text YES to 80800 free of charge from any UK mobile.
Ouse Valley Radio weather.
With the Ouse Valley Radio app, check the 5-day forecast for Huntingdonshire. Download it for free now.
Rather cloudy and breezy this evening with rain in some parts, otherwise a dry and clear night. Chilly in the east and northwest though, a mild night in the south and west with a low of 8 degrees Celsius.
The sound of Huntingdonshire.
Ouse Valley Radio.
There you go. That was one to get you up dancing. That was Sigma featuring Ella Henderson and Glitterball. Good evening, everybody. I hope you're all okay. It's the Thursday night edition of Over to You with me, Norman Napper. And tonight I've got a guest in the studio. The gentleman's name is Alan Ward, and he is a trustee and the secretary of the Acorn Cancer Support Groups. They are Huntingdon, St. Ives, and Salisbury?
Ramsey.
Yeah, there we go. And I'm going to just introduce Alan very shortly. But before that, just to let you know what's coming up later on this evening. I nearly forgot it last night, so I best get it. I got told off by Jackie Manders. Here we go. 10 o'clock, Tony Obi with The Late Show. And at 8 o'clock, directly after myself this evening, we have got Richard Crome with Soft Rock. So there you go. Some great music between now and midnight. And then, of course, we've got the throughout the night and then right the way around to breakfast tomorrow morning. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guests. So I'm going to say good evening, Alan. How are we?
I'm fine, thank you, Norman. Good evening.
Alan, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Yes, I will. Firstly, I would obviously like to thank yourself and the Ouse Valley Radio for inviting me along, and especially to talk about the Acorn Cancer Support Group. Talking about myself, it's all fairly straightforward and the boring part of the evening. I am married, 3 children, 1 granddaughter and another granddaughter to arrive in a couple of months' time. Just I've been retired after a career in the construction and electrical engineering fields. Moved into this area 30 years ago with the family, worked for Eastern Electricity. Since I've retired, been involved with a number of local groups on a voluntary basis. Enjoy my golf, and my major worry in life is Portsmouth Football Club, that I can breathe easy at the moment.
Somebody's got to support them, I suppose.
Somebody has to.
Alan, tell us, or tell the listeners, how the cancer support group actually came about in the first place.
Yes, I will be delighted. It was founded in 1998 by Macmillan Nurse and a community physiotherapist who realised that there was a gap in the support given to cancer patients sometimes during the sort of pathway through, and certainly perhaps after their treatment stops. And they decided, and their mission statement simply said that the aim of the Acorn Cancer Support Group was to alleviate the physical and emotional distress of cancer patients and their carers. And this is absolutely true of what we try and do today, some 28 years later. It all started at a clinic in Ramsey Road in St Ives. It was a drop-in venue. The membership expanded, so they had to move to bigger venues, still in St Ives. Since then, we've opened other meetings in Huntingdon, Ramsey and St Neots. Now, the St Neots group eventually breaking away, and they set up a separate charity, which we are pleased to say also still operates independently today. But that, in a nutshell, is the history of Acorn Cancer Support Group.
Ah, I thought it was a little bit older than that, but it's 20, interesting.
28 years.
28 years.
We just had a big, well, a couple of years ago, a big 25th anniversary birthday party.
Yeah. I'm just thinking, how do you actually achieve... Oh, I put my teeth back in on that one. How do you achieve your objectives, first of all?
That's a good question. I mean, we realise that when someone is diagnosed with cancer, then there's almost certainly going to be this sort of shockwave of dread and uncertainty. And it's a feeling that spreads not just through the patient, but the whole network of his family and friends. And so patients have to cope with the treatment, side effects, and the worry about its effectiveness, and what the future holds. So people can often feel isolated, lonely, and scared. And what we need to recognise also is that depression is a real possibility in this situation. So our meetings are designed to alleviate both the physical and emotional distress that they may be suffering. On the emotional side, people can attend our meetings, which are very much arranged along informal lines. For us to meet our objectives, we are much aware that the meetings must be friendly and welcoming events where members can relax and talk to other people in the same position as themselves and be comfortable with the surroundings. So quite often over tea and biscuits, informal networks emerge, information and guidance is shared, but importantly, just enjoy getting out and chatting with people. Feelings of loneliness and isolation are real things, and we do look to relieve the pressure they bring. And we want our meetings to be regular events that people can actively look forward to. There are times when we offer entertainment or speaker at the meetings, but generally people seem happier just to simply engage with one another and tell us, you know, don't do that again. As for physical support, we have a group, and we have a brilliant group of qualified therapists on duty who offer a range of highly popular personal therapies, one-on-one, including massage, reflexology and aromatherapy. Meetings also have lively group sessions with our qualified seated exercise practitioners, and these really are good fun. In fact, a lot of them really are bonkers. At our regular meetings, we also provide a light lunch for all our members and guests, and this again gives people a chance to socialise. And lastly on this bit, we do all this without any charges whatsoever to any of our members, carers or volunteers ever.
Mm, that's very good, very good. You have three locations, you said. Just remind us where those locations are.
Please. Yes, we do. Our three locations are firstly in Ramsey. Do you want me to give the actual address or just
all these addresses? It's up to you if you want to, yeah.
Okay, in Ramsey we meet at the Bury Parish Hall, which is in Meadow Lane, just outside Ramsey, and they meet on the first Monday of every month at 11 a.m. Huntingdon is in the Neuropathy Centre on Mayfield Road in Huntingdon. They meet on the second Wednesday of every... When I say they, you can go to all these, so it could be the same people. They meet at 11 a.m. on a Wednesday. St Ives is in the Methodist Church Hall on the Waits in St Ives. That's the third Wednesday. And we have a regular film club, which again meets in St Ives at the Methodist Church Hall, again on the Waits. And that's on the first Wednesday of a month at 2 p.m. Now, all these details, they do appear on our website. And there it lists all our venues, dates, times, locations, activities. Our website is quite easy to find. It's just www.acornsupportgroup.org.uk. We also have a very lively Facebook page. And that, again, can be found on Facebook under the Acorn Cancer Support Group.
Brilliant. Do people have to pre-book to come to your...
No, they don't. No, they don't. If they're worried, and they quite often will be, but... I mean, if they're worried or they want to ring us up and pre-book or just let us know they're coming, that obviously helps with our planning. It also means that we're prepared. But no, you can just turn up, drop in, see if you like the look of it and stay if you want. If you don't, it's not a problem. But no, you don't have to book.
That's good. Now, first-time members surely must... find it difficult when they come to the first meeting.
Yeah, yes, I think that's highly likely, and we recognise this, and we do work hard to make that first contact as welcoming as possible. I mean, even those amongst us who appear to ooze confidence, and people often say, "Well, it's all right for you; you just walk in a room and start talking." They still find joining new groups and meeting new people quite daunting, and this we recognise. A cancer diagnosis and treatments leave people with quite reduced confidence levels anyway and tend to withdraw into themselves. Heightened levels of anxiety, there's some tasks that they do that they didn't present a challenge before, and all these things we recognise. So we're trying hard to make sure that newer patients, newer members, don't feel as if they've been cast out into a wilderness. Here is a group where... when the medical treatment stops, or as you're going through the medical treatment, you can come to us, and there's going to be people there that are absolutely like-minded as yourself. We have members who've been with us almost from the start, which is quite remarkable given that these people are cancer diagnosed. But once you're a member, you're always a member. Nobody's ever asked to say, right, well, you're better now, you can leave. That doesn't work like that. And the carers can carry on coming. We're glad to see their relatives and their friends. So, yes, we do recognise that it's a problem, and we want to make people feel that they're at ease, that we're a friendly bunch, that they can talk to our existing members about anything they like. But our existing members love it when somebody new turns up, because for them, this is a new friend. This could be a new person to get to know.
Yeah, that's very true. You mentioned some activities that you actually have on your... meetings. What about, is there a larger list of activities that you could tell us?
Yes, you bet. I mean, this is also where a lot of the good fun comes from. I've already mentioned the Film Club, which is a relatively new venture for us. I mean, it's been a regular thing now for a number of years. But that's a good example of how, here's something you can do. It's on a Wednesday afternoon. The films are chosen by the members, and come along, see the film, get your free choc ice and talk about the film. But going on from that, for many years now, we've been doing trips three times a year on the local Ladybird boats, which is out of Hartford Marina, includes a lunch at the local pub at the marina. And the Ladybird boat volunteers, these are terrific people, and they're good friends of Acorns.
Yeah, we had them in the other day,
they really are good people. And so these are very popular outings, and we have three of those. We have four more formal summer and Christmas lunches for all our members and guests. Of late, we've been using the St. Ives Golf Club, and many thanks to them, because it's a smashing location to do all this. Many of our groupings have smaller outings. Recent examples of that, we have trips to Cambridge theatres, high afternoon tea and entertainment in Fenstanton, garden parties in St. Ives, local restaurant trips in Ramsey, and Christmas parties. We also have coming up a visit to the Holywell and Needingworth Bowls Club. I mean, I've got to stop calling it just Needingworth Bowls Club. It's Holywell come Needingworth Bowls Club. And that's for a lunch and afternoon bowling. Now, that is typical of the sort of things we want to try and do. People may not have been bowling for, you can do that. Lovely, relaxing thing to do. Come with your friends again and have a lunch. So those are sort of the formal things that we do extra. But the real delight is when members informally start a new network. A recent one, this is something which I'm part of, is we often come across members who don't feel they can carry on doing a lot of the physical things they used to do. Golf being one example, where they think, I can't do this anymore. Well, there's now three or four of our members all playing regularly out at Lakeside Lodge together, because, yes, you can carry on. And that's just one example of how, if we get it right and we make the atmosphere and we make the accommodation, all the rest of it, nice and relaxing, other informal networks will grow out of this as well.
Brilliant. My God, I didn't realise you were such a busy organisation.
Oh, certainly. That's only half of it so far. I'll get warmed up.
Alan, we're going to go for a break. We're going to have a little bit of music. What have we got coming up as regards the music? Let's have a look and see. We have got, when I find it, I know it's there somewhere. Oh, She's Not There by Santana. So come back after the break.
If you see somebody showing any of the signs of a stroke, you don't have to think about it. You just dial 999. Use the FAST test. F, face. Has their face fallen on one side? Can they smile? A, arms. Can they raise both arms and keep them there? S, speech. Is their speech slurred? T, time. Time to call 999 if you see any one of these signs. Act fast, make the call, dial 999.
In a beautiful setting next to the river and opposite the Market Square, the Bridge House Restaurant in St Neots is your first choice for great food, including Sunday roast between 12 noon and 5 p.m, as well as a full menu of British food, all cooked fresh with a Mediterranean twist. We also cater for parties and special events. To book a table, just call 01480 587 667. That's 01480 587 667. The Bridge House, great food at affordable prices.
You know, even I get it wrong sometimes. Graceland, not Santana, so Paul Simon.
Tennessee, I'm going.
Sorry about that, folks. That's Graceland and Paul Simon. You're listening to Over to You, and we are on Ouse Valley Radio, and we're broadcasting in the Cambridge area of the Ouse Valley. I've got Alan Ward, who is a trustee and secretary of the Acorn Cancer Support Groups, Ramsey, St. Ives, and Huntingdon. And we've been talking about various things that's been going on in the trust. Alan, you talked before the break about things that you do in the group. You don't have a committee to actually organise these things. You actually do it another way, don't you?
We do. we have a team of people How it works is we have a team of people that operate under the guidance, if you like, of a board of trustees. We have seven trustees. The covering roles of there's a chairman, I'm the secretary, treasurer, and then there's four other trustees. We then have a large number of volunteers, and the volunteers, some of them do executive type roles. They would acting on the trustees' behalf. They take on roles such as data protection procedures, safeguarding, DBS checking. Our website management is run by one of our volunteers, and lots of the volunteers quite independently get involved with our fundraising. Other volunteers they're essential for the running of our meetings. You know, they include the setups, the welcome, the registration, food preparation. And in the case of our team leaders, the whole meeting coordination. So there is a dedicated, hardworking team doing that. Also, we have our therapists, and they're kept really hard at it during meetings with their client booking schedules, which are being fully utilised. We are an all-volunteer organisation, which means that simply we couldn't exist without the enthusiasm and hard work and imagination of a team of really quite smashing people.
Do when people come up with these grand ideas, and I'm going to call them grand ideas because some of them that you were talking about earlier on are grand in what they hope to achieve, do they ever get poo-pooed and said, no, we can't do that, so we're not going to bother?
The notion that we would poo-poo at something and say you can't do it, firstly, that would be extremely counterproductive. One of the really lovely things about the Acorn Group is that our members, I mean, they're bright people. They're good company. They're people that you would want to meet and talk to. And so the last thing we want to do is discourage any ideas that they may have. Of course, we have to be aware, unfortunately, in this world, that there are risks and things that we need to evaluate and may or may not be able to do. We also have to be aware that some of our members are not highly mobile. Some of them are remarkably old, even older than I am. So it's and so these things we have to take into account. But again, our members know that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We love it when one of them comes up with that idea. I've talked about the recent trip we're going to have to the Holywell and Edenworth Bowls Club. That was a member or trustee orientated thing because they're members there and they thought we could all do this. And so, no, it's vital that we don't discourage them.
Yes, that's a very, very, very satisfying, I'm going to say. It's very satisfying to hear. Now, how do you measure the value and effectiveness of your members' services? How do you manage to do that?
Well, we do, and it's very important for a number of reasons that we actually do this, and I'll leave the boring one, the one that we have to do to the end. What we do is we constantly review and evaluate our services at our meetings, and we have to ensure that, quite simply, that our members are happy with what we offer and are we offering the right things, and we need to respond to their suggestions. You know, you'd love to say constructive suggestions. I don't mind if it's any sort of criticism or suggestions because we need to get those back. Now, this is formally done in one respect through surveys. They're circulated, responses are monitored carefully. And our most recent survey was conducted only last month where what we're surveying is how happy our members are with therapy treatments they receive. Is it of value? Would they recommend it to other people? Do they enjoy the meetings? And do they have ideas for the meetings? And we had well over 40 of our members responded to those questions, the questionnaire. And in particular, the satisfaction rating for our therapists was quite astonishing, that over all the different therapies that they do, massage, aromatherapy, reflexology, there was a 95% satisfaction rating. And if we find out where that 5% that went missing is, that member's in trouble. But it really is a tremendous achievement for our therapists to do that. And I can't speak highly enough about what they do, because also, to some extent, they're also a sounding board for those.
Okay, so on that one, what are the members' thoughts on the Acorn Group? What do they think about it?
Well, firstly, the 95% rate on that tells us a lot. The comments that we get back, because we also ask for comments on those, they were all positive. I was just trying to think if there was anyone which said that we ought to try and do this or not. But also, that's a formal way of doing it. That's where they say, this is great fun, we enjoy coming, please keep it going, thanks for what you do, all those sort of things. But because if we're getting it right, they're going to tell us anyway.
If there's something
they're not happy with, I mean, every meeting has trustees at it, every meeting has a team leader. Some of the meetings will have all of our trustees at it. And knowing our members and our team leaders, they would most certainly let us know if there was something going wrong. But formally, we have to do that, which is the boring bit, because when we're bidding for our funds, when we're seeking grants, this is the information that a potential sponsor is going to want to see.
And
we have to measure it as we go through as well.
Well, that's right. And that brings me nicely on to the next question I'm going to ask you. How is the Acorn organised?
How do you mean in organised? What you mean?
How is the hierarchy, as I say? Do you have a committee, a subcommittee, or?
Yeah, we have. Well, the Board of Trustees is sort of the controlling body in the sense that that's where the responsibility lies, and we delegate out the various functions like I mentioned. Formally, the trustees have to meet every quarter. But I said, we will meet one another almost on every meeting that we go to. The individual team leaders at the three venues that we use also are encouraged to involved in the actual management of and the running of it. It's not a particularly tall pyramid in that sense. It's not. It's quite a flat structure that we run. And contact is almost continual between us, our volunteers, and our members. So we don't set up an awful lot of different committees to look at things. We would have sort of project groups, but basically it's the trustees, and then it's devolved out, and we're happy to let them get on.
Okay, how many trustees do you actually have?
Seven.
Seven trustees?
Yes, we can have up to nine, so if you're interested, we'll have a look at your CV.
So where do you get your members from? Are they told by the Macmillan nurses that you have a group, or is it normally by word of mouth, or what?
Yeah, our new membership is a key issue for us at the moment, because we're not back to sort of the take-up that we had pre-COVID. For virtually every charity, but certainly ones like ours, caused us real problems, although I wasn't involved with it directly there. I was involved with other charities, and I know exactly the sort of problems that was. I mean, we are an organisation that thrives on people getting together. COVID, of course, caused us a problem. Yes, our members, I mean, we advertise, we leave brochures, we leave posters in local surgeries, libraries, Woodland Centre, hospitals, public places, cafes, anywhere where we think that people can see what it is we do and perhaps want to find out a bit more. Website, Facebook page is very important. What you also need to remember is that every new member isn't necessarily a happy story. This is somebody who's been diagnosed with cancer. And so it's not like other social organisations where you go out and try and drum up new members. We just want to make sure that anybody who is feeling vulnerable, is feeling isolated, knows about us, that we haven't slipped up and missed somewhere where they might hear about us.
Do you get... I know this is a sad thing to say, but do you get people that come there and they're at their wit's end as regards their diagnosis?
Yes,
and they're just, and they're looking for somebody to not only help them through it, but to give them advice on how to cope.
Yes, that's exactly what we get. And we get that. That's just quite a regular thing that we are going to get because that we need to be prepared for. Now, the way it works is that we have people at all of our meetings, who, including our therapists, who do recognise that and can help. The best people to deal with it actually are our other members quite often as well, because just as they've been through it, just to talk to somebody who's also been through it and knows that there is a way out of it at the end, just that you're not all on your own. I mean, I'd like to offer our services, have a meeting every day of the week, so that at any time anybody who feels like this can come along. But, yeah, and sometimes that can be, it's a tricky thing as well, because these people are, you know, they are distressed.
Mm. How often do you meet?
We meet, formally, there are four meetings every month, one in Ramsey, one in Huntingdon, one in St Ives, and the Film Club. But then there are informal get-togethers. So the Ramsey Group will have a lunch or lunches somewhere else during that month, which they organise themselves. Then there are the sort of the formal lunches that we have, the boat trips. But it's four times a month we meet in the three locations and in the Film Club.
Okay. What time do you actually meet?
11 o'clock for the meetings at Ramsey, St Ives and Huntingdon in the morning, through to 1 o'clock, including the lunch. Although the teams are setting it up are there a lot sooner than that, and they'll be there a lot longer than that. And the Film Club meets at 2 o'clock at the Methodist Hall in St Ives in the upstairs room in the afternoon on a Wednesday.
Very busy schedule, very busy, busy, busy.
Oh, I wish it was busier. We all do. No, we seriously do. We'd like to meet more often, but, you know, there is a practicality to all this.
You must actually have an experienced team working for you, do you?
Not necessarily. I'm not particularly experienced at this at all. I'm a three-year veteran.
Yeah. A three-year veteran there, folks.
And I'm still learning and doing a lot of learning the hard way. Yes, we do have. We have two trustees who have been with us for almost the entire time that it's been going, so they're 25, 26-year-plus veterans. And their advice is much sought after. We have members who've been with us a long time as well, doing it. The jobs that trustees do, we have an excellent treasurer who's financial whiz on all that. So, yes, the specialist jobs, I can sort of get by as secretary. Our chairman, great bloke, works every hour that it's sent. But it's the real experience in it probably is our members. You know, it is them who make the whole thing run.
Mm. Yeah, that's very true. Where do your members come from? Do they just come by word of mouth or are they recommended?
Word of mouth is quite important at times because that often means people explain to them what it is that we do. If you mean literally where they come from, then we wouldn't worry where they come from. There isn't a restriction in that sense. But obviously, given our geographic location, then it's Huntingdonshire is where most of them are going to come from. Yeah. I'm trying to think if any of them come from any further afield than that. I don't think so.
Do you get recommendations or to get people recommended from Macmillan?
Now, the Macmillan link is a bit more tricky because they're not embedded within the Woodlands and here as they used to be.
Ah, right.
Okay, so different. It's the Huntingdon Cancer Care Network, HCCN, who also have similar facilities, what we do. So there's a little bit of it's not a roadblock, but there's a little bit of a problem there in the sense that where they come from. But we don't mind who recommends, as long as we've done our bit to make sure that the name's out there, the people can see what we do, then that's just, you know, there's only so much that we can do on that score.
Well, that's very true. Alan, we're going to go for another bit of music, and this time, definitely, it's Santana. So come back after the break, folks.
Come in, get one ready.
Exciting!
Remembering how to prepare for a road trip is as easy as spelling it. T is for top-up, like fuel, oil and screen wash. R is for rest, taking a break every 2 hours. I is for inspect, like your tyre pressure and tread. P is for prepare, being prepared for any weather. T-R-I-P. Remember that, and you're ready for a safe trip.
Are we ready?
Yes, Mum.
National Highways.
Fancy yourself behind the mic?
Yeah, definitely.
Ouse Valley Radio is on the lookout for new presenters right here in Huntingdonshire.
It's real local radio.
If you love local life and want to host your own live show, we want to hear from you. No experience, no problem. We'll train you. Find out more and apply at oosevalleyradio.com. Ouse Valley Radio, the sound of Huntingdonshire.
The sound of Huntingdonshire.
Ouse Valley Radio.
Ouse Valley Radio.
The sound of Huntingdonshire.
Sorry.
Please don't bother trying to find her.
There we go. That was the great Santana, and She's Not There. You're listening to Over to You with me, Norman Upper, and I've got Alan Ward with me, who is a trustee and also the secretary of the Acorn Cancer Support Groups that we have around Huntingdonshire. Now, before the break, we were talking about various things about members and so on and so forth. And what I'm going to ask you now, Alan, if I may, do you know how many members you've helped over the past year?
Yes, I do. I knew this question was coming. The stats which we keep, and we do keep statistics from all of our meetings, shows that last year we had a total of 471 patient and carer attendances at our meetings. That doesn't mean that we had 471 individuals, but it meant that if you added up all our meetings, then 470 times we had patient and carers attending our meetings, and we delivered over 200 individual therapies over that course of that year as well. Attendance levels at our seated exercise sessions, and as I said, these things are lively and they're bonkers, but they're great fun. We had 636 attendance sessions there. So these are all on a nice upward curve, especially a good recovery since COVID, which causes problems. But as you can imagine, our membership fluctuates, and it fluctuates greatly, because when you think that our members and what their backgrounds are, then it's not as if you can say, well, this member will be here for 20 years or whatever. I mean, it's so these numbers will move, but that perhaps gives you a feel for the scale of what we're doing. I think the 471 patient and carer attendances are important. That's 471 times that somebody hasn't sat isolated. Somebody has come and met other people and done stuff.
Yeah. The sessions that you run, are they free, or do you have to charge?
No, they're absolutely free. Absolutely free. We don't charge our members for any of the sessions, for any of the Acorn organised activities, the Ladybird boat trips, the lunches, the Bubbles Club, all that sort of stuff. That's absolutely free.
So if that's the case, how are you actually funded?
Yeah, that's the hard work bit, and the funding comes from a number of sources, and actually, and this is a lot of it before my time. I'm a relatively new boy to the trustees. They worked really hard to spread where the funding comes from, so that we're not overly reliant on one source. But it is a never ending task, and it does mean that organisations like ours are all independently funded. No ongoing long term type grants. Do have to keep running at 100 mile an hour. The people, the sort of organisations that have supported us most recently, the big one is Macmillan Cancer Support. I mean, they are a most important part of our activities. And, yeah, I mean, we're absolutely delighted that over the last few months we've become one of their strategic community partners, which means a lot, and it all seems sort of business speak, doesn't it? But it does mean that within a community setting, in a social, they see us as a strategic resource in this area. Now, this is a developing program. There's lots of work going into it, but we really are quite hopeful that this will bear fruit and that this will assist us in going to where we want to be. I ought to mention some of the other grants that we've been awarded recently. That's from the Yorkshire Building Society, because we have a member who tapped them up for a member's charitable grant. The St Ives Mayor Fund, the St Ives Mayor and the Ramsey Mayor have all been most generous. The Huntingdonshire and Godmanchester Mayors we know quite well. Huntingdon Freeman's Trust, a great organisation, help us with rents in Huntingdon. Local Rotary Club, St Ives, which is my own one, and the Ramsey Rotary Club have recently helped us. Ramsey Hospital Charity Shop. There's a charitable trust in Cambridge, PEM, who actually are accountants, who run a really good charitable trust. And so they managed to help us as well. We also have contacted through local Masonic Lodges, who we should acknowledge. But on top of this, the real fun with our fundraising, it's probably true of most charities like us, is what our members do. It's actually what they get up to. We do have a bridge drive, should say. I forgot about that, where local bridge players come and have lunch and play bridge all day in Hemmingford Abbots.
That's one game I've never got my head around, is bridge.
Well, I know I've been on lots of these. I don't play bridge either, but also the local St Ives Rotary Club runs these things as well. And what I've learned from bridge players is that it must be something about the cards in Hemmingford Abbots, because nobody ever gets any good cards, and they tell me it's dreadful. But it's a great day, and it is a good venue. We also recently were donated Newmarket Race Meeting executive-type tickets, you know, the whole corporate bit.
So we did them
as a lottery, and that was a great take-up on that, and we sold all the tickets. So, again, that's a good source of income. But the fun sponsorship, we had one of our members had a sponsored head shave.
Male or female?
No, it was male. Although another member did do the actual shaving. Which raised an awful lot of money, but we have people running marathons for us and doing those sort of Iron Man type, or Iron Women in this case type, local fundraisers, raffles, donations. But the big recent news is that this Saturday, we're about to have our very first winners from our very first Acorn Bonus Ball Lottery, where anybody, but at the moment we're keeping it to our own members and friends because we're still testing it. Simply, it's what it says. Pick a number in the lottery that's shown on Saturday. If your bonus ball number comes up, you're a winner. You'll get some money and some will go to Acorn. And one of our trustees has put an awful lot of work into this and he's done really well. But I think it's quite exciting.
Well, it's well organised. It's well organised. You know, as long as it's well organised and nobody says, I never win on that. So
well I'm not pulling the ball. We're not doing it. It's a national lottery.
Well, we have the same problem with our competition because we were having discussions about the fact, how do you choose the winner? Because before, many, many moons ago, it used to be put the names in a hat and pull one out, but that's open to misinterpretation again. So then there was something else suggested, and now we have got a number generator, which we give each competition member a number, and it's put through a little simple number generator, and they get the 50 quid prize from it, you know.
So not so much fun as watching the bonus ball come up and cheer in on a Saturday night.
Okay, we've got about 3 minutes left, Alan, so I want to ask you a couple of questions. Where do you see Acorn to be in the future?
Yeah, this is fairly short answer to this one. What we'd like is more people, more services, more care, more fun. And we're set up to do this. We can take as many people as the halls and the buildings that we rent can fit in. It's not a funding issue. But having said that, more people mean more cancer diagnoses.
Yep.
And every new member isn't a good news story in that sense. So going forward, we would like to do more of fairly much the same that we do. Always looking for those bright ideas that come from our members and other people.
I've got to ask you this question because I should have asked it earlier on. Is I know it's a bad thing to say, but is cancer on the increase these days, or is it beginning to go down?
Some types are, some types aren't. I'm not a medical expert on that one.
Right, okay.
But generally speaking, the picture isn't consistent across all types of cancer.
Mm. Okay, that's fair enough. I've got to ask you the last question. We've got a minute and a bit left. What do you personally get out of working for Acorn?
Yeah, it's the sense of purpose. It's not as if my life is purposeless, far from it. But this is a great purpose. What I personally get out of it is also just enjoying our members. They are inspirational, lots of them, what they do when I consider the problems that they have. But it's just great fun. You meet new people. I enjoy their company. Yeah, the old cliches, I am putting something back, but it does mean something. You know, you are doing it. Plus, on a personal note, my family, like lots of others, have not escaped cancer. Yeah. As a family, we were lucky with our support. Not everybody's that lucky.
I should imagine that's a sad and heartbreaking thing. One last question. How can people contact you, Alan?
Yep. They can contact us through, we have our website where you can contact us. That's www.acornsupportgroup.org.uk. We have a Facebook page, again, where you can leave messages. That Acorn Support Group, it will tell you where to send email messages to. They'll come through to me. We do have a phone number as well. They can contact us on 07739 934 524.
Brilliant. That is just about it. And what about email? Do you have an email address is that...
My email address is secretary acornsupportgroup.org.uk. But it's on that website.
Yeah, that's brilliant. That's it from me.
And can I just say thank you very much?
You're welcome.
I've enjoyed it. It wasn't as bad as everybody told me it was going to be.
I'm not on until Wednesday next week. So good night, God bless, and I'll see you then.
I stood on Cape Cormorant in the sun's evening glow, and tuned hill at Newland to watch the fishing fleets go. Watch your sheath whales and keevers as they spun around, and heard the men singing as they go underground. And no one will ever move me from this land until childish footsteps in the soft sand and sand. I've chased the maze there on Quickly in town. I've stood on a cliff top in a westerly blow and heard the waves thunder on the rocks far below. Chapel Cambrai to gaze at the ceilings in the blue far away. For this is my Cornwall, and I'll tell you why. Because I was born here shall die, and no one will ever move me from this land until the Lord calls me to sit at his hand. For this is my Eden, and I'm not alone. For this is my Cornwall, and this is my
Or maybe it's just time to treat yourself. At Eloise Lingerie in the beautiful historic village of Buckton, you'll discover an eclectic range of lingerie, nightwear and swimwear, all with a complimentary fitting and styling session included. Visit our gorgeous boutique, browse at your own pace, or book an appointment online at eloiselingerie.co.uk or simply call 01480 812 740. Eloise Lingerie, Buckton. We love to see you soon.
Do you love the thrill of the sale? That buzz when you close a deal? Ouse Valley Radio is looking for someone motivated to sell advertising and sponsorship for our community radio station. You'll work flexibly, build relationships with local businesses, and earn commission. If you're confident, driven, and love local radio, this could be for you. Find out more and apply at ousevalleyradio.com. This is a volunteer, self-employed role with commission-only pay.
Join the Sail Away Travel Club and get great deals and even cash back on cruises, holidays and excursions. And what's more, if you go to this radio station's website, you'll find a discount code that'll give you 25% off your membership fee. The Sail Away Travel Club, where travel is a pleasure, not a load of faff.
The time on Ouse Valley Radio is coming up to 8 o'clock.
With Master Tech Auto Care.